We're going to continue our study this morning, again, out of the book of Nehemiah. If you're here with us this morning or you're tuning in this morning for the first time, we've been going through the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah is not a book about building a wall, although it talks about building a wall. But it's really a book about building people, about building the people of God together. And it takes us through the process that it is requiring of us to be able to actually engage with each other and build the body of Christ. We come this morning to the third chapter, and I'm going to ask your patience because you're going to wonder, why are we reading this third chapter? It's weird. You're going to think, well, surely there are better passages of Scripture, because this chapter is just full of names. But there's some special treats in it. Before I read all the names, I want to just give you a little setting. There is a name that you might remember from American history, by the name of John Dickinson. Does anybody know the name John Dickinson? Does that ring a bell? Yeah, one. Wow. All right. There's somebody else. Let me ask you if you have ever heard of this guy. Anybody ever heard of Patrick Henry? Yeah, a lot more people have heard of Patrick Henry, right? Well, there's something that they both had in common, these two names. They both had in common the fact that they were known as great patriots, even though the first one, John Dickinson, you've probably not heard of. But he was known in his time as being a great patriot. And they both talked about the importance of unity. They both did it, and they both used the same words, that either we stand together or we will fall together. But there was something that Patrick Henry did that John Dickinson did not do. John Dickinson did not sign the Declaration of Independence. And for that, he's forgotten. I want to read. And I want to read from the third chapter of the book of Nehemiah. I'm not going to read all of the third chapter. I'm going to skip over a few verses, and we're going to read a few verses out of the fourth chapter. But I want you to feel it, the names. Why might they be important? Then Eliashib, the high priest, rose up with his brothers, the priests, and they built the sheep gate. They consecrated it and set the doors. They consecrated it as far as the Tower of the Hundred and as far as the Tower of Hananel. And next to him, the men of Jericho built. And next to them, Zakur, the son of Imri, built. And the sons of Hasanah built the fish gate. They laid its beams and set its doors, its bolts, and its bars. And next to them, Meremoth, the son of Uriah, the son of Hakoz, repaired. And next to them, Meshullam, the son of Berechiah, the son of Meshizabel. He repaired it. And the next to them, Zadok, the son of Bana, repaired it. And next to them, the Tekoites repaired. But their nobles would not stoop to serve their lord. Jehoiada, the son of Paseah, and Meshullam, the son of Bethoiada, repaired the gate of Yeshana. And they laid its beams and set its doors, its bolts, and its bars. And next to them repaired Melatiah, the Gibeonite, and Jadon, the Marathite, and the men of Gibeon, and Mizpah, the seat of the governor of the province beyond the river. Next to them, Uzziel, the son of Harahiah, the goldsmiths, they repaired it. And next to him, Hananiah, one of the perfumers, he repaired. And they restored Jerusalem as far as the broad wall. Next to them, Raphaiah, the son of Hur, ruled half the district of Jerusalem. He repaired. And next to them, Jediah, the son of Harumphah, repaired opposite his house. And next to him, Hattush, the son of Hashanabiah, he repaired. And Malchijah, the son of Haram, and Hasab, the son of Pahath-Moab repaired another section and the Tower of the Ovens. And next to him, Shalom, the son of Haloshes, ruler of half the district of Jerusalem. He repaired, he and his daughters. And then Hanan and the inhabitants of Zanoa repaired the Valley Gate. They rebuilt it, set its doors, its bolts, its bars, and repaired 1,000 cubits of the wall as far as the Dung Gate. Malchijah, the son of Rechab, the ruler of the district of Bekaharim, repaired the Dung Gate. He rebuilt it, he set its doors, its bolts, and its bars. And Shalom, the son of Kolhoza, ruler of the district of Mizpah, repaired the Fountain Gate. He rebuilt it and he covered it and set its doors, its bolts, and its bars. And he built the wall of the Pool of Shelah of the king's gardens, as far as the stairs that go down from the city of David. Now when Sanballat heard, this is now from the fourth chapter, verse 1. So skip a few and we'll go to the fourth chapter. When Sanballat heard that we were building the wall, he was angry and greatly enraged, and he jeered the Jews. And he said in the presence of the brothers and of the army of Samaria, "What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they restore it for themselves? Will they sacrifice when they finish up in a day? Will they revive the stones out of heaps of rubbish and burned ones at that?" And Tobiah the Ammonite was beside him. And he said, "Yep. And what they're building, if a fox goes up on it, he'll break down their stone wall. Hear, O God, for we are despised. Turn back their taunt on their own heads and give them up to be plundered in a land where they are captives. Do not cover their guilt, and let not their sin be blotted out from your sight, for they have provoked you to anger in the presence of the builders." So we built the wall, and all the wall was joined together to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. But when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabs and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the repairing of the walls of Jerusalem was going forward and that the breaches were beginning to be closed, they were very angry. And they all plotted together to come and to fight about against Jerusalem and to cause confusion in it. And we prayed to our God and set a guard as a protection against them day and night. It's the word of the Lord. And even though it has a lot of really hard names, and you wonder why in the world I read them all, it's the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, would you gather our hearts, gather our choices, gather our determinations today, that your spirit, your word, might penetrate into the center of our souls, that we might hear your voice, that we might respond to that voice. Father, would you lift up Christ Jesus in our midst, that we might be drawn unto you through him. Build our walls, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. It was about unity. We haven't come to it yet, but you know that the wall that was completely destroyed, the gates that had been completely burned by fire, was rebuilt in 52 days. And the rubble was so great when it began, and you remember it, that Nehemiah had to get off of his donkey that can climb on anything and walk 52 days. The only way that we're able to build in such impossible circumstances is when we stand together. It is that unity that this chapter characterizes. It's also characterized by an enormous sense of diversity. So I want you to see, first of all, that the unity that built this wall, the unity of God's people coming together, it was a direction. There was unity because they all went the same place. They had a common goal. There was a vision. We're going to build a wall. Nehemiah used the wall as a rally point to get people to work together. And if you didn't feel it as we read it, I want to point some of those particular points out. Early, verse 1, we start out with the priests. The priests at the sheep gate. It was symbolic that the priests were actually going to lead this process. Was it the priest's job to be out doing rock lifting, moving all of this rubble away? Was that what the priests ought to be? I thought the priests were supposed to be in the temple. I thought they were supposed to be taking care of the spiritual needs of the people. Nehemiah says, priests on the wall. And the priests started. And this chapter begins with a clear sense that even the priests were out there on the wall, starting, interestingly enough, at the sheep gate, where the sheep would come in to be sacrificed, to be sold. And so we begin with them. We come to verse 5, and we find another slice, another side, the other side of the coin, as it were, to the leaders that were out there. We had the priests who said, this isn't really our job, but we'll do it. And then we had these guys in verse 5, the Tekoites. And it says the Tekoites would repair it. The people of the area would repair it. But their nobles would not stoop to it. The priests would, but the nobles didn't want to be involved. So what we find early in this chapter is that the center of rebuilding the wall comprised both those who were willing and those who were unwilling. They begin to find this split between them. Now, why was it? Was it that the Tekoa nobles were maybe located near Geshem the Arab? They were afraid of him, maybe? Or were they connected to other issues, other financial issues in Jerusalem? And they didn't really want to see the walls of Jerusalem built at all. Whatever it was, they weren't united. But in spite of it, the people worked. In spite of the fact that they were connected to these people. In fact, not only did the Tekoites build one section of the wall, they built two sections of the wall. Willing and unwilling. There's a principle here. And the principle is that all leaders are imperfect. All leaders. Even Nehemiah was imperfect. He wasn't a perfect, but he was a visionary. There were many leaders that hadn't been perfect. And we come to the Tekoite leaders, they weren't very perfect either. In our church today, in our homes, in our families, we're not perfect leaders. I'm not a perfect father. I'm far from a perfect husband. We do not shine our perfections. We recognize our imperfections. But in it, even in our imperfections, we may be united. So if we learn to follow God's direction, and that's really all Nehemiah wanted them to see, we need to return to God's direction. Follow the leader that desires to turn your head in God's direction. When your head is turned in God's direction, follow that leader. And when the leader begins to follow another direction, that's when you get to stop following that leader. If that leader is not turning to Christ, he's turning somewhere else, don't follow that leader anymore. There's a clear, clear direction here. The Tekoites said, we're not going to follow our leaders. We're going to follow God because God is the source of our strength. We will build the wall. And they did. There's a second principle, and that's the incredible diversity. I don't know if your mind or your eye picked up the diversity in this chapter, but it is amazing. First of all, we had a regional diversity. There are two places that are mentioned that if you were to go back and do your homework on it, which I had to do because I couldn't figure out how far they were either. Gibeon was a city 6 miles northwest. And you remember the story of the Gibeonites? How they deceived the Israelites. They came with donkeys that looked like they were all worn out, and they had moldy bread and they had stale wine. And they said, you know, we've come from a long way. We want you to make a treaty with us. Those are the Gibeonites. Well, the long way was 6 whole miles. Not very far. Okay, if you're on foot, it takes you a while to walk 6 miles. But not long enough to get moldy bread out of it. So they were simply deceivers. But here they are on the wall. The Gibeonites from over there, the ones that had been deceivers, betrayers, are building the wall. The goldsmiths, verse 8. What business does a goldsmith have on a wall? Heavy hammers, moving mortar around, lifting? No. A goldsmith is somebody, at least in my mind, that sits in this tiny little desk with an ocular on his eye, squinting through it so that he can see the fineness of the gold that he's weaving. The goldsmiths worked on the wall. Maybe they didn't work as fast. Maybe they wanted to work with finesse. And others thought, well, you're being a little OCD about this. Don't spend so long on that brick. Get the next one on there. Goldsmiths, part of the diversity. But even more peculiar than the goldsmith is the next one in that next verse, verse 9, still in verse 8 before we get to 9, were the perfumers. So men and women who made perfume were on the wall. Well, what business did they have? Perfumers? We don't need the scent of perfume on the wall. We just need a wall built. What we need to see is that God called each one, and sometimes we don't always do what we think we're the best at. If Abbott is going to be rebuilt, it's not going to be rebuilt because we all do what we think we're the best at. Maybe the reality is that you think, I don't know how to greet people. I don't know how to talk to people. And Brother George just gave us a great example. Call somebody. Call somebody. Not everybody. Call a one somebody. Communicate to a one somebody. God doesn't call us all to always work in the area of our greatest strength. Sometimes we just need to get busy and be on the wall and do the piece that God gives us to do. There was a countryside administration in verse 9, a ruler of half the district of Jerusalem. It was certainly in his interest to see the wall of Jerusalem built. He was a ruler over half of it. But what we're seeing is well-connected, widely connected people that are responsible for big chunks, and they're also on the wall. They hadn't been building it before, but they begin building it now because everybody was on the task now. Now they were starting to build it. Perhaps some of these rulers were Jews that weren't taken into captivity, but they stayed there and they watched the walls crumbling down. Maybe they'd been there the whole time, a long time. Some of you have been here a very long time. Nehemiah came in. He hadn't lived. He hadn't grown up in Jerusalem. He'd been carried away. But Jerusalem was on his heart. And there are those in our fellowship that are away. And Abbott is still on their heart. There are those of you that have been here all along. And Abbott is on your heart. The rebuilding of the people of God. These are great walls. They're beautiful walls. But they're just walls. It's the people. It's God's people that we work to build. Frankly, if you make a telephone call, this wall isn't going to hear it. These walls aren't even going to appreciate it. But the people, each other, we will appreciate it. We will know. Verse 12. You say, well, what's the role of women? To build the wall. That's what verse 12 is about. Because there were the daughters who also inherited the land. They were building too. Not women's work, was it? Yes, it was. Women's work too. And so the daughters we're building when we read through this. And Zenoa, that's from verse 13. Zenoa is 13 miles away from Jerusalem. I just want to put this in perspective. Some of you are living a fair distance from Abbott, up in, you know, maybe in the Towson area or even farther north. That's about 13 miles. Maybe you're from Zenoa. Do you understand what's happening? God is calling his people together. There's an incredible diversity. Diversity of gift. Diversity of gender. Diversity of location. Diversity of time. He's calling all of these pieces together and saying, I will build my people when we all stand together. Third, there's the unity that comes out of difficulty. The persecution, the fear, the discouragement. Chapter 4 leads us in that way. Sanballat is taunting. And out of his taunts, there is this return cry to the Lord. Yes, I recognize the taunting. But the wall had gotten to half of its height. That's what the text tells us. Half of its height already. It hadn't been completely torn down either. Remember that. There was still some of it left. But now it is slowly reaching half of its height. Half of its height is not quite enough. But the taunting was even worse. If a fox jumps on this wall, they're going to abandon it the next day. A fox will break it down. How does a perfumer build a wall? You want to walk, you want to be defended by a perfumer's wall? I don't want to be defended by a perfumer. A fox will jump on it and the wall will fall down. And so we might think of each other, well, these taunts, these, even if I don't hear it, I feel it. Will we ever overcome these things? Will we ever overcome the difficulties? How do we begin to shine again? Those were the questions of the people of God gathered in Jerusalem. And those are often our questions. And we feel, even if we don't always hear verbalized, the taunts of those outside of the body of Christ. But their shame was lifted. God was their protector. The people watched and protected each other. That's the text. That's the story. So let me ask you a question. Let me just back up. Do the names seem confusing now? Do they seem pointless? Suppose I were to read this chapter slightly differently. I'm going to read it again. The archers began to build, and next to them the Bodries and the Bebos. Next to them. Who's next to them? Well, there was the Blair family, and Dawn and Tracy also joined them. And alongside of the next section, Gail and Dennis Capiro started. And then Barbara and Jane and Amanda were the women on the wall, and they built a section all by themselves. And the Files family, they joined together, and they built a section also. And another section was taken care of by Julius and Angela. And the Flynn family joined them there. And David and Lydia, and Tom and Laura, the Frasca family, they took over another section of the wall. And so Elrena was also able to join with them in that section, and in order to really get it done and get the gates done well, Alberta and Honora also had to join in. They each had something to bring and to do. The Grove family and the Halterman family, they started in another section in a particular ministry there. And Barbara and Walter and David joined together into that particular ministry and focus. And then there was Joan and Gwen. They started, and actually they joined in with the Lenning family
to rebuild the wall of entry. And it was Kathy Long. Kathy couldn't stand alone, so she joined. She joined with the Lubin family and the McNeves also. Together, they built their section of the wall. And then there was Tony and Billy. And so they were joined by Raj and Shelby. Karen also joined in that section of the wall. But the wall wasn't done. We weren't around it yet. And so the Paulies had to join in. And the Paulies decided that they would join with the Pfeiffer family. The Pfeiffer family, with all of their children and grandchildren, they built a larger section of the wall. It went 100,000 meters. It was a big family. Dan and Danny, they joined in with Quinn and the Rankins. And they built another section of the wall. There were some other doors and gates that weren't built up yet. And so Aaron Robinson also had to stand in. And Donna was there, encouraging. And there was Dorothy and Bert and Laura together building the wall. And then Alan Rose, they said, we'll join also. And Donna Lorraine, they said, we have a section. We have something to do. And so Susan joined with them. And they began to do another ministry. And the Shaws were there. And Doris joined the Shaws, sometimes encouraging, sometimes speaking. They were all building. Ruth Thompson, Rob and Sharon Taylor, the Williams, they built another section. And Marlene, Don, Loretta, Steve and Jeanette, they joined in another ministry. Do you call it the third chapter of Abbott? You. Maybe your name wasn't there. It can be. Maybe you've come recently. Maybe you're thinking to yourself, some of those people really can't do anything. Really? Can't pray? Can't give? Can't make a telephone call? Can't encourage? No. It's all about building the wall. Building God's people. We are the people of God. God has called you. He calls me. He calls each one of us to a different place in rebuilding his people. I want you to ask yourself this morning, what is my role? Who am I? Who am I on the wall of the kingdom of God? What does God want to do at Abbott, through Abbott, in this community? It's been here a long time. Those stones in Jerusalem had been there a long time too. And they were broken down. But having a wall broken down is not as significant as having a people built up. God has called you, I believe, to build. Let me pray. Father, we call you Father because we're your family. We belong to you. You have put your name on us. We are called by your name. Lord Jesus, you gave your life for us. Help us now to give our hearts, our lives, first to you, and then to the building of your kingdom for each other. That your greatness, your presence might be known in this community. Thank you that the glory is yours. It does not belong to us. Would you tie our roots together? Allow our roots to go deeply into the soil of Christ Jesus, that we might be tied to the vine and flower. Mingle our roots together deeply, that we would nurture, care for each other. Father, would you do your building? We are your church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.